Welcome to Midcoast Tech Fest, episode 7. With me, as always, is Saul. Special guest tonight, Marcy Dunham from the Philippines and from Minneapolis. Good morning, Saul. Good night to you, Marcy. Good evening.
6:21 in the
evening. What time? 6:21 for us. What's it for you, Marcy?
7:18 in the morning.
But this is Thursday morning for you. Am I wrong?
It's Thursday.
What does tomorrow look like for us on the western half?
Sunny with the chance of earthquake here in the Philippines. Lots to look forward to, I'd say.
Okay.
All right. And to be careful about.
Yes.
Well, let's get this episode started.
Welcome back.
Number 7, we're done wasting time. Let's get into the tech. Saul, you've got some great new tools for us to check out.
I do.
What do you got over there today?
Well, let's start with what I'm doing in the classroom. And as you know, as I've talked about it in the shows before, I am trying to use our school sets of iPads as much as possible. And along with the students using them, as well as myself in everyday class, I utilize I don't know if you call it an app or an add-on to my iPad called Air Server. And here you can see my screen. And basically what Air Server is a way of me to shoot up onto my smart board on the wall of what I have on my iPad as I walk around the room. And can you see that
always,
okay?
All we see right now is us.
Super meta.
Yes.
I
think you just shared the Hangout window, maybe. Now I see you.
Hi.
What do you see?
Your full screen.
I wonder if this is... Do you see that? Nothing?
Yeah. Blue. We got that now.
You got the Air Server. Okay. Yeah. So this is actually from my iPad sitting here next to me, and I have this as I'm conducting class pretty much on a daily basis. So if I want to show the kids what's going on in Class Dojo, I can just bring it up here. There's no cords attached. It's all working through Bluetooth. So whatever I'm doing, I can show here, and then if the kids have something that we're all working on together or they're working on in groups or something, I can go iPad to iPad. They can shoot up what they have. I think we can fit up 4 on the screen. I don't know if we can do more than that, or it's just kind of 4 is the number that, you know, actually kind of fits into the full screen mode with it still visible. Maybe we can do more, but... Regardless, it's the kids are able to shoot up on the screen what they've been doing, what they work on, whether it's, you know, something with trading cards or Brain Pop or something like that. So it's worked awesome. It's kind of, you know, in the beginning we had these iPads. What are we going to do with them? How are we going to use them? How can we get from point A to point B up on the screen? And instead of me sitting behind my desk using a laptop hooked up to a projector onto the screen, I can do this and walk around, and it's just worked well. I would love to quote your price on the license for one computer. I'm not really sure what it is. I know you can try it out free for a while, but my school has graciously added this on because it's just such a useful thing for all the teachers, and yeah. Highly recommend Air Server. It never drops and fails to keep that Bluetooth signal going, as far as I can tell from my use of it. And I'm a huge fan of Air Server.
Nice.
Questions about that?
Well, on the price, I just checked it out, $15, which compared to Apple TV, which is like the similar product, that's around $100. So if you want to stream iPads to a projector or to a TV, that seems like a way better and cheaper way to do it. Plus, the fact that you can connect multiple iPads to it is awesome. You can't, to my knowledge, do that with Apple TV. So, nice.
Yeah. Mike, what do you got? Bring it.
First up, I'm not going to talk at all about what I'm doing in class because it's too bad. It's a surprise for next week. But what I am going to share first is this great new site called Spartacle. Can you guys see that?
Yes.
Yes.
Spartacle, S-P-A-R-T-I-C-L. And as always, we will send out all of our links afterwards to all of our listeners and viewers, all the thousands of people watching this. So Spartacle is a new site that just launched that is an awesome collection of science resources, videos, games, articles, and it's basically all of the digital science content that's available on the web, organized and curated by this site, Spartacle. And so you can sign in, and it'll keep track of, like, you get points for, like, watching videos and stuff, and they'll ask you questions after you play games or watch videos. And they've got, I mean, you can see here, they've got tons of categories. And, it, I mean, this is physical science, this is chemistry, this is life science, earth science, space science. Everything is here. And what I really love, under the Explore tab, they've got things like science controversies, which for me was always a really important thing to teach, and everyday science, so like how you can get involved in science outside of the classroom and things like that, and science news too. So they've got a ton of categories, a ton of resources, and if you're looking for digital science content in your classroom, this is a great place to start and to find resources.
So how does the setup work? So, like, does the teacher register it, and then the kids can...
Yeah, so the students can create accounts if they want to, like, keep track of points and stuff, or the teacher can just use it to search for resources, and then they would send that resource out to the students. So it's kind of up to you how you would want to use it. Cool. But if the students have accounts, then it keeps track of what learning materials that they're going through also.
Nice. All right, back to me.
Back to you.
All right, so I'm going to try to utilize Air Server once again to show this next thing I've did. As everybody knows, who are faithful listeners to the podcast, which might just be our mothers, but I do utilize... let me put it up. Can you see it? Are we good?
Yeah.
Back to the Air Server screen?
Yes. Yes, we're good.
Good? All right. So I've talked about before, I am the journalism / yearbook teacher at my middle school. And something I've been utilizing a lot lately is an app called Sketch, because as we start to put the book together and are taking a lot of photos and, you know, kids are so familiar with just the act of photo taking, and whether it's on their phone or they all have their, or even a digital camera, which not many of them do anymore because it's most of their phones have a better camera on it than their family digital camera might have. But they're
Your kids about drinking Heineken on Halloween?
Well, see, I'm trying to reach out to a lot of different demographics here, but this is for podcast purposes because it is an adult podcast thing. Anyway, well, hold on just a moment there. So if I was to use this picture in class, so if I'm trying to help the kids kind of get an idea of what needs to be framed within the picture or what can be taken out or something, as Michael noticed, yes, this is an advertisement for Heineken. I'm not going to say good or bad things about the beer, but if I was going to use this in class, maybe I would crop the picture, which this Sketch app allows you to do. Now, for purposes of the podcast, I'm going to undo that elimination of the alcohol advertisements there around it. But there's lots of multiple things. So if I was going to show kids, you know, things that I think they might want to probably not blur anything out of the of a picture that would be in the yearbook or on our class blog, but just things I want to point out if I want to, you know, kind of mark something up for the square around and show, you know, what elements of the picture might be helpful and useful for the I want to put in, you know, if the class hasn't come in yet, I want to demonstrate, you know, a well-taken picture, you know, this is a great shot kind of thing. Or just however I want to emphasize something about the photo, I can easily do it on here. And
I just want to point out that people tuning in right there at that moment would perhaps be a little confused about what our podcast is about.
Context is key.
Really? Because I think this really kind of summarizes it to a T. Maybe that's just me. But if I want to put, you know, any kind of thing I want to address or identify in the picture that, you know, obviously this isn't the exact picture I would want to use in my class, but to, you know, identify things that a student might want to change or look at in the picture. I think this app really does a good job of doing that. And it is completely free.
Yeah, that's awesome. So if you're using images, that's a great way in class to make them, I mean, like you said, to point out different aspects of the images, to quickly crop it or edit it or add text or whatever from your iPad. Yeah, Sketch. I've used Sketch before, too. It's, I like it a lot. It's a good app for that.
I'm just trying to hit all of our demographics, really. You know, I figure there's...
And nice job with the Halloween-themed picture, since the season is upon us.
I do what I can.
Well done.
Moving on.
All right, I got one more quick tool to share, and then we're going to head over to Miss Marcy Dunham. So the last thing is a new site called Apple Learning. Can you guys see that?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a website, applelearning.com, and it's also a free app. And basically what they do is they have a great collection of apps that they've reviewed and assessed for educational purposes. So sometimes as a teacher, it's hard to find apps. I mean, there's tons of apps out there now. There's thousands, if not hundreds of thousands or millions. And finding good apps for the classroom is hard. So let's say you are a middle school history teacher. You can go to that. And they've got all these different apps that they review. And they write up these really detailed. They've got a video review. They've got screenshots. They've got this full report card of all of the content of the app and how it relates to the curriculum, why they like it, what it teaches. And it's just a really awesome site to get educational reviews of all of the apps that are out there. And it's also available on the iOS App Store for free as well. So if you need to find apps for the classroom on your iPad, this is a great place to go and check it out. And it covers all subject areas, core subjects, electives. They have a huge variety of categories. So
nice.
It's a really great site.
That's really nice.
And I checked that out after you, I think you mentioned it in one of your latest posts. And
I reviewed it over the weekend, yeah.
Yeah, just really good stuff. A lot of the apps that they recommend might be a few dollars, and to get something that a school will purchase to put on a set of iPads is, you know, kind of hit and miss. But even there's actually a couple free ones that I saw on there that I've already checked out and implemented. So yeah, it's awesome. Just
nice.
Cuts the fat, if you will.
And even just having that, if it is a couple bucks, having that report to show to your administrators whoever does the purchasing is like,
sure.
Hey, look, no, it's, I mean, this is what's great about it. Here's what it does. It helps save teachers so much time just getting that, having that report and that the review of it. So that's Apple Learning.
That was our... That was our one sound effect for the show. So.
Oh, no, there's going to be more.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Don't you worry. So with that, let's pass it over to sound effect number two. Marcy Dunham, our guest of the night.
Do I make the sound effect?
Oh. What do you have? Do you have like cymbals over there or something?
I have a whole band.
Very nice. They braved the earthquake to
make sound effects for your podcast.
It's really nice.
Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here.
I'm not. I'm over here on the other side of the world.
But where exactly? Give us the details on where you're located.
I am exactly on the island of Cebu, which is in the Philippines, at Cebu International School.
Okay. How long have you been there?
Since 4 months.
4 months.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And give us a little of your background, your history. Where did you start out teaching? Where have you been? What's your story?
Yes. Born and raised in Minneapolis, Minnesota. My first teaching assignment was in Minnetonka Public Schools, where I helped to start a Spanish immersion program. We started it in 4 elementary schools. And I taught the first year, first grade. After the second year, moved up, looped with my kids to second grade. I was the department chair for Spanish immersion and for Chinese immersion to help with a lot of the translation and getting the staff development underway for that. And after 4 years, then I moved to Colombia. Cartagena is the city, and I worked for Colegio Jorge Washington for 2 years, where I taught first grade and fourth grade. And now I'm in the Philippines teaching ESOL to first, second, and fourth grade learners. So in my 7 years of experience now, I've been always working with second language learners, whether they were learning Spanish or learning English. And so that's always kind of in the back of my mind as I talk about technology today and how I use it for especially language purposes.
Wow. Mike, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Wow.
I'm sorry, I lost you at did you say you started teaching in Minnetonka?
Minnetonka, Minnesota.
I'm a huge Prince fan, right? So
yeah.
Is there really a lake? Is there a Lake Minnetonka out there?
My uncle lives on Lake Minnetonka. Oh. That's a fun. Yeah.
Sorry. I'm a huge Purple Rain fan, so awesome. Okay, I'm sorry, Mike. I'm sorry. I've taken away from the
it's fine.
Integrity of the show.
We should have done Prince. We should have done Prince for the music this week instead of indie rock.
Oh, there's so much it's good music from Minneapolis.
It's not too late. We should stop now and do it right.
And just restart the whole podcast. No.
So much,
what I was going to ask
so much go on. Yes.
Before we went down this rabbit hole is, that being said, has there been one particular technology tool you've found over the years that you've gone back to time and again for ESOL learners that you've relied on that you think is one of the best tools out there? Anything like that?
That's such a good question. I think it's evolved so far, but I really am kind of obsessed with the use of iPads in my classroom. So in the way that I utilize the smart board in Minnetonka, I kind of think about it like all the kids have their own smart board. So I think for me, the most important part about using technology is making sure that the kids are manipulating it themselves and interacting with it, that they're not just passive viewers of something on a screen, but it's just another opportunity for them to interact and make their learning go deeper. We can talk a little bit more of that in a moment. But so iPads is the short answer to that question.
So what's the iPad situation at your school right now? How does that work?
We basically fight for them because we don't have our own. But all of the elementary teachers have 5 for their classroom. And since I'm technically a specialist teacher, I don't have my own. So I go and I beg, borrow, and steal them throughout the day and have between 1 and 4 for use in my classroom. It's not the most ideal situation, but next year, since we're kind of piloting it this year, next year we'll have more. In my school in Columbia, we had 5 iPads that I shared in my classroom with 25 students. So I've never experienced working with kids where everyone has their own. I've only used it in small groups or grouped them or paired them. So I've only ever used them to share in the classroom.
In that sort of setting, have you found any apps to lend themselves more to group iPad work? I mean, a lot of apps seem to be designed more for like one-on-one interaction. Are there any that you've really liked in that type of setting?
There were a couple. We would use the Raz Kids application for reading. And so my students would buddy read and listen to a story and then talk about the story together. So that's one way. But really what I use mostly for the iPad is actually video recording. And so I would have the students record, every time we finished a project or a learning or something and they wanted to record a movie about it, they would go and get their project, set up the laptop, and talk about what they did. Or anytime they wanted to read a story that they wrote and published, they could read it to an iPad. And so when we worked in groups, oftentimes it was helping each other record and making sure that that they weren't like this when they were recording or like this when they were recording.
Right.
It happened a lot with first graders.
I mean, that's how Saul usually is when he does the podcast also.
This is when I talk to my mom. It's always like, Mom, where are you?
Well, and I know like as everyone talks about how the schools in Finland are supposed to be the best in the world, right? And I've read that about their use of technology is when they have iPads or iPods even, that they use them for recording their group work or whether it's video and audio and utilizing that for something else further. So they're not focusing as much on, I don't know, just whatever the kids have, the work they can hand in via an iPad, but it's more of, it kind of ups the group work, you know, like the participation and the stylized work that they can put out there, you know, with like, it's their own video camera. I mean, 10 years ago, you couldn't have a video camera for every kid to, you can hand out one to every kid or every group even, so that kind of thing is just awesome. I don't do enough of it. I wish I need to like utilize that option more. So
yeah, I think one of the reasons why I've opted for it so often is it's very basic and simple, yeah. But it can be used for assessment, as assessment. The kids are super motivated with it, and especially with language learning, the more kids are practicing producing the language, you know, the better. So giving each kid an iPad, they're all talking at the same time rather than just passively listening, one-on-one sharing, you know, they're more, it's more interactive. So, and then they can go back and listen. Parents loved it. I mean, there were so many uses for it.
Being able to hear themselves speak, at least for some of my students, like when they actually get a chance to listen to themselves and how they're talking and what they're saying, it's a whole new ear-opening experience where they can be like, oh, that's what I sound like. That's what my pronunciation's like. I see why maybe I'm having some issues and things like that. Mm-hmm. And it can be such a wonderful learning experience just hearing yourself and seeing yourself speak in a different language.
Definitely. And you can share it. You can share it easily, too.
Yeah. Recently, we celebrated International Week at my school, and so we used the iPad actually to connect all over the world using Skype, and this was a fun activity actually, and Michael Carlin actually participated in this. So the way that it worked were we would call in to different different people around the world, and the kids had to guess where they were. And so the guest speakers would give a series of clues. Now, some people recorded videos and sent them, and then other people, my students, had to ask questions to. And I think one of the greatest parts of it is my students were forced to speak very clearly into the iPad and into Skype so that the other person could understand them. And so there was like this, a little bit of tension, especially when we were calling to Colombia and even Australia, where there was some misunderstanding. And it was a very real context for the kids to kind of struggle with that. And so I just kind of stood off to the side and watched as they tried to clarify the meaning of their questions and what they were trying to do. It's one thing for a teacher to say, remember, questions begin with question words, instead of like, you live where, you know, trying to, as a teacher I could say, no, say where do you live? But instead, this was a natural context where they'd say, you live where? And then the person was like, was that a question? What do you mean by that? It was really, really awesome. And I thought there's something about the magic of an iPad sitting down and doing that. Whereas I feel like if the kids would have been in front of a monitor on a computer screen with a camera, it almost felt like it would have been more distant. But we were all huddled around a circle with one little iPad, and everyone was really comfortable. It was really nice.
Awesome.
That is really awesome. You mentioned earlier, you made the wonderful point that to have technology in the classroom is good, but if the students are just learning passively and sitting there watching a video, it sort of negates the purpose, and that it needs to be more minds on and interactive and engaging, and that they need to be manipulating or participating in the app or whatever in some way. Are there some apps you've found that you like for that purpose, or are there some that if you had enough iPads where you could have every student using it in the classroom, are there some tools you found that you really like that engage students in that way?
Yes. Let me think now. To be honest, there were a lot of apps that I didn't like that I felt, you know, after a while, there were a lot of, especially.
And you can talk. Feel free to talk about them and name them. Like, if there's one you don't like, and
I'm looking
why.
Forward to using. What was it? Apple Education. Was that the website that you referenced earlier? Because I found that my school, we went through the trouble of, selecting apps that we saw online and then downloading them and paying for the purchase order and all this stuff, and then finally we get it, and the kids were simply able to guess. Answers, and I just felt like it was just a lot of games, and most of it had to do with sight words. I'm still looking for a really good sight word building, fluency building app, and there are a lot of vocabulary games, but I'm trying to think of one that I really liked. Can I get back to you on that one?
Absolutely. And if you send it later, I'll add it to our list that we send out afterwards.
Stay tuned.
To be continued.
And the other thing I was going to mention is when the classroom management piece of it that I was able to use, especially with the smart board, and I haven't quite figured out how to use it so much with the iPad, but... one thing that I did back in Minnetonka, Prince's hometown, is I would use music and transitions on the smart board as a way to get the kids to move from one subject to another. And this is especially helpful in a self-contained elementary classroom. So it was one of my students' jobs that if any time I call them over, they would go over to the smart board and move. They would manipulate the smart board so that they would take out I had images for each supply that they needed. For example, we're going from language arts time into math. And so they would go up to the smart board and they would move the images underneath a box that said take out, and be like math journal, pencil, and your manipulative toolkit. And then they would press the music and the music would start to play. Now, because this was a normal part of the routine, the kids, anytime they heard the specific song, knew that they needed to look up, see what they needed, and then they would go about putting things away and going to the next one. The best part about this is it freed me as a teacher to continue to work with a small group off to the side. And so I didn't have to stop myself to go and say, okay, everyone, put everything away, take out your math journal. I let technology do that for me. And so I was still off to the side, finishing up with my reading group. My student helper would go over, and then it was like magic. All of a sudden, you look around, and all these second graders are like, do-do-do, to the tune of, you know, really nice, you know, Shakira song or whatever floats your boat. We were a Spanish immersion school, so I was always trying to get some music in the background pertaining to different cultures. So, and then they would go, and then, yeah, that was a really nice way to use the smart board.
Yeah, that is a wonderful idea. Absolutely.
So what kind of projects or things do you have coming up for your kids once you get back from your, I guess, I don't want to call it a vacation, but your disaster.
Yes.
Natural disaster break.
Well, my first graders are working on a poetry unit. And so they are going to be publishing poems. And we are going to use technology to record them. My second graders are working on video stories. We've been talking a lot about personal narratives, and so they're in the process of publishing their personal narratives. Again, we will record using the iPad for that. And when we come back, it's actually book week at my school, and so we're going to be interviewing authors around the world and writing to them. And learning about, I had a bunch of friends from different countries record themselves reading storybooks in their native language. So we will watch clips from, let's see, we have one in Ecuador, and we have one in Taiwan and Honduras.
Wow.
Oh, and Minnesota, of course.
Of course. That's really cool. Wow. Nice. Awesome. All right. Implementation and ideas for the technology classroom.
You might be the most tech-driven person we've ever talked to.
I think you're the two of us.
I mean,
yeah, you're the best tech-savvy guest we've had so far.
That is impressive, especially with, I hate using this word, but the young kiddos. Little kiddos, that's impressive, man.
Why do you use, if you hate using the word, why are you going
to
use it?
Well, I feel like when I'm referring to elementary kids, I have to say kiddos. I'm just like, I don't know. I cringe when I hear it, but I just feel like elementary kiddos is, that's an American thing. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I prefer calling them ankle biters.
What's that?
Ankle biters.
Ankle biters. Yeah, that's
good for when they're really getting on your nerves. So,
no, okay.
I feel like there's probably more that I'm forgetting to talk about, but yeah. So.
No, you.
I try to think of technology as a tool to enhance what I'm already doing and to enhance the curriculum, not as a replacement of the curriculum. So. I always try to keep that in mind. And also for differentiation, I have, especially in the ESL classroom, I have kids that will come in, you know, right from a new country and they speak nothing in English. And then I have other students that have been here 2 or 3 years. So trying to figure out how in our hour together I can be reaching all of their specific needs. And so lately I've had my student from Japan sitting with an iPad and reading books and working on vocabulary building games, and then as soon as she's done with that, well, I work with the other group, and then I pass the iPad to them, and then they work on something else, for example, publishing their story, while I go and I work one-on-one with her. So it's kind of just like having another teacher in the classroom.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, and I think that's an awesome way to think about it. Like, I mean, like you said, it's a tool not to replace the curriculum, but to enhance it, mm-hmm. and to sort of be that second person in the room that can help you keep the students engaged and involved with activities. That's yeah that's awesome. So before we wrap things up, you mentioned at the beginning you've got some earthquake days over there. But it was a very serious earthquake, 7.2 on the Richter scale, mm-hmm. something like that. Is there anything, if people want to help, is there anything you'd recommend or a site to visit, or what do you think about that?
Sure. About a week ago, a little over a week ago now, there was a huge earthquake in an island close to Cebu. So and there's lots of devastation. Many people are affected by it and will be long-term. So we're still feeling the aftershocks even weeks after. So they've canceled school for a couple more weeks as people go around to make sure that all of the school buildings are safe, which I think is very wise of them. And so there are many organizations trying to help. The Red Cross has something set up as well. And my friends and I are going to be actively participating in helping with the relief efforts ongoing, starting this Sunday, and then we plan to go every couple of weeks because really it's only an hour away from where I live. So if you're interested, you can get in contact with me directly, and I can either send you a link, a PayPal, or more information. So would you like my email?
I'll just post it afterwards with the links that we send out.
RcDunham@gmail.com is what it is, and it'll be with the links.
Perfect. So if you are interested in helping out with that situation, Marcy is a wonderful person to talk to and ask questions about that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Awesome. So I think we're about done here, Saul, unless you've got anything else. Marcy, if you've got anything else.
I do not. Marcy, thank you very much for being a part of this whatever this is.
This epic fantastic moment in history that will clearly go down as one of the best podcasts ever done by our show.
Probably.
Number seven. Yeah. Lucky number seven episode. Yeah. The best we've done. The best I've done so far. That's not saying much at all. But
we're really starting to hit our stride here.
We really are.
Starting to get the hang of it, boys?
Mm-hmm.
Good.
And I'm glad you could be a part of that with us.
Well, let me know if you ever need to come back.
You know what would be great is if somehow we could interview some of your kids some morning.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
That'd be a ton of fun, actually.
That would be fun. Let me think. 7 o'clock. You should interview my fourth graders. Okay, we'll work out details.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, we could definitely do it later, in the day, but in your school day. But we should talk to some of your kids.
Okay.
Let's do that. Wonderful idea. Yeah. We'll do that.
I'm good for one worthwhile idea each week, so just in time.
Nice. Good. That's your quota. Okay.
All right. Well, I'm going to play us out then.
Lead us out.
Stick around, guys. We can chat afterwards. And it's been a wonderful cast. Thanks for listening, everybody. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.